I'd like to share with you probably the biggest psychological blunder that you can make with your investments. It's called anchoring, and many people do it. I'm going to teach you what it is and how you can handle it.
Welcome to the 360 Blue Financial Strategies Show. Join us as we discuss actionable steps you can take today to gain financial freedom. Jonathan Pop, Iris Sagrado, and Glenn Steers are registered representatives offering securities and advisory services through United Planners Financial Services, member FINRA SIPC. 360 Blue Financial Strategies and United Planners are not affiliated. The views expressed are those of the speaker as of the date noted, are subject to change based on market and other various conditions, are not a solicitation to purchase or sell any security, and may not reflect the views of United Planners Financial Services. Keep in mind that current and historical facts may not be indicative of future results. Now on to the show.
I love to play blackjack. I don't play it very often, but when I do, I really, really like it. I think the reason I like this game so much is that when I grew up, my parents had a blackjack table in the basement. And it's still there to this day. So I grew up playing cards on it. My parents taught me all the rules and they taught me how to deal. I'm actually a pretty skilled blackjack dealer. I'm not quite professional quality, but I'm pretty close for a layperson. Well, for my 21st birthday, I was super lucky in that my parents took me to Las Vegas, which was the funnest thing ever. I had always played blackjack for fun or for pocket change with my friends, but now was the time I got to play the real thing in a real casino for real money. I didn't have much money to play with, so when we got there, we set out looking for some blackjack tables with the lowest possible minimum bet. And the cheapest table we could find at that time was at the Excalibur, and it was a $5 minimum bet. I sat down at that table with a $100 bill, which was a lot of money for me. I figured this would get me 20 bets, and hopefully that would last a while, and hopefully I would win. Now, my real goal here wasn't to make money. I wasn't out to make a quick profit and then stop. I was just really there for the experience. I knew the odds well. I knew there's no way to win at gambling in the long run. So I just wanted to have fun, and if I made some money along the way, then that would be great. Well, I sat down at this blackjack table with my family, and it was exhilarating. I was playing well, I was sticking to basic strategy, I wasn't deviating from it. All the years of learning how to play and practicing in the basement were paying off. That and a lot of good luck. And after a little while, I started winning, which put me in a great mood. I'm making jokes with the other people at the table. When somebody gets a blackjack, everybody would cheer. It was just a great time. I tried not to count my money because I didn't want to jinx it, but I roughly figured I was ahead about $150. So I started with 100 bucks worth of chips, and now I had about $250 sitting in front of me. And my mom was sitting right next to me, and she kept saying, "Jonathan, take some of those chips and put them in your pocket so you make sure you leave a winner." And of course, 21-year-old me knew better. I said, "Mom, I've got this. It'll be fine." Well, it doesn't take much imagination to figure out what happened next. My luck turned, and it turned against me fast. My chips started dwindling, and it was this unnerving feeling I had in my stomach. One moment, I had the world on a string, and then suddenly, things got very serious. I did my best, but the cards just didn't go my way. Finally, I left the table. Now, this is where the story doesn't seem to end so badly. I walked away from that table a winner. I didn't lose anything. I probably left ahead about 20 bucks. But because at one point I was ahead about 150, to walk away only ahead by 20 made me feel like a loser. I had gone into the situation just looking to have fun and hopefully make some money. And that's exactly what happened. I was there for several hours. I got to play blackjack in Vegas with my family, having some laughs, and I made money. It's the perfect scenario. So why did I feel like a loser? I felt that way because of the psychological trap known as anchoring bias. Anchoring is when you set an artificial benchmark that you use to measure your success. But that anchor is usually set in the wrong place. With the blackjack game, my original pursuit was to have a good time. That's all. But then as I started winning, I moved the goalpost. Now, since I was up by 150, that was my new anchor. So when I walked away a winner of 20, I didn't see it as winning 20 bucks. I saw it as losing 130. I kept telling myself, I could have stopped and I would have won 150, but instead I only walked away winning 20. Objectively, I was a winner. I set out to have fun and possibly make a little money. I achieved that, but still felt bad. I had anchoring bias because I set a new anchor at 150. People do this all the time with their money. Some people will see their investment statement when it's at an all-time high, and then they'll set their anchor there. That's the new benchmark. And when the market goes down and they get the next statement, which is lower, they'll say, look at the money I lost. But they might not have lost anything. It may have just been a reduction of their profit. Anchoring at the wrong point can be harmful because people tend to make bad decisions when they're upset. This is when people get tempted to time the market, which we know is a losing proposition. You can't do it consistently. So here's my suggestion. You need to have some kind of benchmark, because if you don't, how can you measure your money? How can you measure your success? There's a few ways to do this. Concerning the value of your investments, you can set your anchor at how much money you put in. You could set it at the high point or the low point. But I think all of these anchors are bad because they don't really have any bearing on your true outcome. I propose that instead of setting your anchor or benchmark in any of these ways, you should be thinking like this. Your benchmark should not be how much you put in, or the high or low point, but rather your benchmark should be, how much do I eventually need to have to accomplish my goals? Let's use your retirement, for example. Let's say your goal is to have $2 million in your accounts by the time you retire. You figure that's how much you need to have a comfortable retirement. If your account dipped down recently, don't measure it by what it once was. Measure it by what's needed in the future. Let's say you had $1.5 million, but after a dip, you have $1.3 million. If you have time on your side, you may not need to do anything, and you just let the market do its thing. And even if you don't have much time, it's possible you still might be on track to get to that $2 million point on time. And in that case, you can sleep tight. But if not, and indeed this does throw you off track a bit, now's the time to do some planning. Figure out a solution. And that might be saving a little bit more money, which is contrary to what you're feeling. You're feeling like, hey, I have a reduction in value, but that's really what you ought to be doing is either saving more or figuring on retiring on a little bit less for the first few years or something like that. Get creative. By making your goal the anchor rather than some past value, it keeps your focus on doing what you need to do to get there. This will help increase your chances of success. So don't look back, just look forward. And on that note, I am done. Thanks for listening and have yourself a glorious day.
For more information, go to 360blue.com. That's THREESISTY, blue.com. Keep in mind that this show is designed to be educational only. The representatives on this podcast do not provide legal or tax advice. For individual guidance, please speak with someone who knows you and your situation.